He's been making albums since at least 1962. The legendary Leroy Van Dyke is joining us on the line. You know him from What Am I Bid, also The Auctioneer, Walk On By. We don't have time to go through all of your hits. Hi, Leroy.
Well, probably not. I've done about 400 songs on record, I guess, but they haven't all been number ones.
So let's rewind then. How did you get your start in music? I know you grew up on a farm, you took journalism in school, you were a special agent in the Army. Where did music come along?
It was kind of a fluke. As you mentioned, I grew up on a livestock producing ranch in Missouri and went to the University of Missouri in animal science and journalism. Went to auctioneer school after my junior year and then went to Korea, and while I was over there, I don't know why or where it came from, but this song just started coming to me out of the air. I wasn't trying to write a song. I never had. But I had a cousin named Ray Sims, who was generally considered and still is considered to have been the man who totally revolutionized the purebred livestock auction business. He could sell them faster and get more money than anybody alive. So I had heard him sell, and I got enthusiastic about that, and then this song started coming to me while I was in Korea, and I finally wrote it down, came back home, took a job with a newspaper, and got the song on a TV show, kind of a talent contest, which I lost, but before I got out of the studio, the phone started ringing. And within 2 weeks, I had the record out. Within 3 months, we'd sold 1 million records, and I was in show business. So it was kind of a fluke. It just happened just that way.
See, who says that you need to win those types of contests to make it big, right?
No, you don't have to.
No.
Nobody remembers who won, or nobody remembers who had first and second place, but it's we're in a funny business, and you never know what the public's going to like or not like.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
I had no idea that it would do that for me. It just changed my life completely overnight.
Well, let me ask you that then. So when you hear a song, obviously you have fans who have been following you for decades. Do you know what they will respond to favorably? Do you pretty much know by now what people want to hear from you?
Not really. In the 400 and some songs that I've recorded, obviously they haven't all been hits. But
right.
You know, we thought at the time they were good songs and could possibly be big hits, but they weren't. You know, I have probably 30 or 40 that hit the charts. But yeah, I don't think anybody ever knows for sure when you cut a record whether it's going to be good or not, because you never know what the composite opinion of the public is going to be.
Right. And at the top, I mentioned Walk On By. We all know that song. 42 weeks on the charts, 19 of those in the number one position.
Yes.
I mean, how does that feel to know that you've got this song that everybody is loving and it's just got this longevity?
Well, it's a bewildering experience and a humbling experience. I was playing a casino up in South Dakota. The phone rang at 7 o'clock in the morning, and of course nobody ever calls an entertainer at 7 o'clock in the morning when they've had a show in the lounge at midnight. But it was my wife, and she said, "Who would you think had the biggest country single of all time?" And I started thinking something about Hank Snow's Moving On or Eddie Arnold or somebody else, and she said, "No, your record of Walk On By has been named by Billboard as the biggest country single of all time. Based on the number of plays, number of sales, and the number of weeks in the charts." And they had been doing research on the top 100 country singles for about a year, and Walk On By turned out to be the top one. And I couldn't believe it for a while, but that's better than getting Entertainer of the Year, because that record still stands, and Entertainer of the Year fades out after 1 year. So it was a total surprise to me. I'm glad it happened, and I accept that. I'm still really a little bit in awe of it.
So that moment then, or that day even, did you celebrate it all? What did you do?
Well, by that time I'd been in the business a good many years, and when something good happens from the standpoint of career and marketing, marketing your talents or whatever you're doing, the first thing we did was to call our press agent and let him know about it. And he said, okay, let's roll. So he takes the ball and publicizes it, makes sure all the publications and all the radio stations, everybody knows about it, because that translates sometimes into more work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we did.
Let's talk about your work, because I know you take performing very seriously. Never missed a performance in over 50 years, is that right?
That's true. It's been almost 60 years here. And I grew up on a ranch with a really strong work ethic. Both my parents were hard workers, my dad and my mother. And nobody in our family ever failed to do what they were supposed to do, work-wise or obligation-wise. And I think that came from the training right here in rural Missouri in agriculture and livestock. So I just had this work ethic, and not only that, my dad ran a small truck line, and I drove semis. I moved furniture and hauled cattle, and there was never any kind of weather or any kind of obstacle that I couldn't overcome to get there. Many times airplanes weren't flying, and because of snow, I'd rent a car and I'd get through it and get to the job when the airplanes weren't flying. All kinds of bad weather and everything, but it's just the work ethic and the determination to get there. I've even had to charter airplanes. I've had to rent cars, rent trucks, charter buses. One time even had to go into a dealership and buy a new car and drive away with it to get to where I was going. So it's just determination to be where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there, I guess.
I was going to ask, though, what keeps you going aside from the work ethic? Obviously, you must love what you do.
Oh, I do. It's something I've always... There are only four things I ever wanted to do, and I've trained to do all of those. I always wanted to sing, sell as an auctioneer, write, because one of my majors in college was journalism, or raise livestock, and I was trained for that. So those are the only four things I ever wanted to do for a living, and I do all four of those.
Still, after all these years.
Yeah. When I come home, everybody thinks I'm crazy. I don't play golf. I don't fish. When I come home, I'm here trimming trees or building fence or mowing grass. I'm working all the time when I'm home, and it's the thing that most people consider work, but to me, it's my form of relaxation.
Right. Now, you're in the Auctioneering Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, the National Auctioneers Association, yes.
I didn't even know that there would be such a title. So what do you have to do? What do you have to accomplish to get that honor?
Well, I've been a member of the National Auctioneers Association for a long time. I'm a licensed auctioneer. I've sold everything from buffalo to bulldozers and real estate to rabbits. But that's been a small percentage of what I do. Probably less than 5% of what I do is the auction business itself.
Mm-hmm.
I've combined the auction activity with the entertainment business when I go to a state fair or a county fair, and they have the sale of champions, the livestock. Many times they'll have me come in there and open the sale, sell the champions, and sell a few head, and then go on down to the stage and do my show. I have sold as many as 80 head of hogs, and then walk down to the stage and do my show. So I've combined those two, but I think the reason they put me in the Hall of Fame was because of the positive effect the song Auctioneer had on the auction business. I think it tripled the enrollment of students in auctioneering schools. It made everybody aware of the auction business. Many people knew nothing about the auction business, but many people were kind of inspired to go to auction school and become auctioneers after they heard that. It just had a profound effect on people, way above and beyond I would ever have guessed. Total surprise to me.
Well, and that says something about the power of song, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Finally, I want to ask, what advice or suggestions would you have for an aspiring artist who wants to have, you know, decades of success like you've had and love every minute of it and keep going until they're, you know, 80, 90, 100 years old?
Well, I can't give a short answer on that. I would say that people need to find something to do that they like so well they'll do it for nothing, then learn how to do it well enough to get paid for it. And that's what I did in all four of those categories of occupation. And if anybody thinks they want to go into the entertainment business just to make a lot of money, they better think again, because there's more to it. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of responsibility, and you might make it, you might not. So you have to do it because you love it well enough to just stay with it and do the best possible job. But my first advice to any young person going into the entertainment business would be, first of all, get an education, preferably in marketing or in some cases in music business. There's a good school at Belmont in Nashville, a good university, Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro has a good course in music business. So you can learn about the business in order to make sure that you have a better chance of success once you get into the business and manage your own affairs. But even further than that, from a personal standpoint, and people don't want to hear this, they think I'm preaching at them, but I'm not. I'm just giving them good advice. All of these young people that think that it's a big glamorous way to make a living, sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't, but the first thing they must do is take care of themselves and their behavior and take care of their health. And I tell them all, don't ever start smoking, don't ever start drinking, and don't ever get into the drug scene, because it'll kill you.
Absolutely. And you know, if there's anybody who's, as we said, never missed a performance, that's some good advice from you, I think.
Well, I never smoked and never took any drugs and then never took a drink in my life. And that's one of the reasons I'm still going strong at 86.
And you still have that energy to keep going, right?
I'm not going to ever quit.
Well, it's been great chatting with you at Leroy Van Dyke, and we'll be looking. You're still performing all over, right?
Yes, we are, Jeremy. In fact, we're leaving tomorrow to go to Iowa. We've played every state in the union, shows in every state in the union, and about 10 foreign countries. I haven't played Hawaii, but I've played all the others, and I'm continuing to do that. And we're never going to slow down.
Well, that's great. You know what? That's motivation for a lot of people, I think.
What I'm doing, and I'm not going to quit.
Well, that's great to hear. Well, thanks so much for your time. It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you.